Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about corrugated numbers. They are a specialist numbers, they've got a special use, and I am using them, and I'm using them in conjunction with these podcasts. And some people might be interested in maths, and some people may be interested in innovative maths and learning about something called a corrugated number. And it's called corrugated number because one way of writing these numbers is by changing up and down from normal to subscript to normal to subscript as you write these numbers. And as you write the number, you get a greater number of precision as you go forward. It's sort of a hard thing to do. Yet, look, they are technically numbers because there's some arithmetic laws or arithmetic operations you have it, but it's not. It's not axiomatic numbers. So they're cross between numbers and indexes. And this is not disallowed in quantum mechanics when you're specifying trying to write down what the state is of a particular electron shape or quantum state it's in. You resort, it's particularly the same molecular physics, you resort to an increasingly complicated set of subscripts and letters to describe it, a C2 pi U, a G plus state, triplet, all these different things which, as you work through it, tell you what the state you're talking about. And you could say that that's an index. It's also translates to a number. Actually, is a way of mathematically describing something. So, in as much as the number mathematically describes it, it's okay. But in general, with say quantum mechanical indexes, you can't add and subtract the indices of one state to the other. You just wouldn't be able to do it. You can get some mathematics associated with its selection rules. And so this is a corrugated number is of that form, but it's a simplified form, and it's to take the role, internet header. You've got the header and the body. It's got the equivalent in handling logic information as being the header of that information. So it's very, very powerful. Let's stop for a little moment and say, why would I be talking to you now? Well, I'm beginning to use that number as the powerhouse behind automated apps, which I I'm increasingly going to add to my podcasts. That is, you can listen to my podcast and press on a button, and it'll be the app of the podcast. Now, I'm sort of cringing at this because although the app writing software is no time whatsoever. It's live as you write it. As you write down the sequence, the information, the computer reads it and publishes a fully functioning app to the internet as you write. So there's no time involved in that. Similarly, now there's very little time involved in producing the podcast, and basically you just put in your dictaphone, type the name of the whatever it is, the podcast, a bit of a few lines about it, and then send it off. So there's nothing to it. But however, the writing an app per podcast is a burdensome thing because it requires so much information to put in, and there's temptations to keep on adding the information. So why, let's step back a back, why am I doing an app per podcast? Or I won't put it for every podcast, I'm doing one for the Magnetic Material podcast. There's sort of two reasons for it. Your expert knowledge, part of expert knowledge is considering things from every different angle, and what's happening is you've got someone trying to explain things with sort of no background audience and trying to explain the information raw, and they look at the information from many different angles. So that's part of, I'm not saying that I'm an expert or that brainy or anything like that, but it is confusing. So when I was, say, looking at Brown in Motion, there's probably five levels that I was looking at, and so the app helps me put it out. So, and now now why would I be putting out an app? Well, it's the basic idea that I'm podcasting, getting better all the time, producing more, especially hopefully high grade material, and it's part of the overall plan to, when I return and face people who are trying to knock me out of teaching, I've got behind me, and it's sort of, it's almost a hopeless battle, but I may as well give it my best. And so what I'll do is, for every lesson, have a complete electronic website accessible for the lesson, complete electronic seating plans, what is a complete accessible website, all the references for a podcast, and finally an app for the lesson. It's all linked in, and that's several lessons a day. And so this is why I'm going up several podcasts a day. Heroic, can you do it? Look, quite honestly, I feel no, not at this stage. It's a real hard ask. Do I have to do it? Yeah. The bottom line is that the line is put in the sand, saying no matter what you do, we're going to find fault and just make it impossible for you to keep on teaching. All right, well, I know how to respond to impossible challenges, and that's, I've just let myself come back and just research and program and work and toil away, and I mightn't reach there, I mightn't get there, but if I get kicked out, yeah, it's a good try. I don't know, it's your fighting spirit. Okay, so getting back to it's how you can actually process through all of it. So getting back to this corrugated number. The corrugated number is a key thing that I'm using in structuring apps. That is getting the information that a computer can organize into an automatic app. And that is an automatic app, and it's got this fundamental structure in it. So it's a couple of years ago that I saw, I have to reveal, I'm the inventor of the corrugated number, but there's no sort of joy in that. In fact, that actually works against you. If you say, look, I've invented this, people just put the shutters down. So you can go out and play with it. So I don't know how I'll do it. So Magnetic Materials has an app live, and I'm just going to slowly build on. I'll attach to this the library of apps, and you can see the various apps generated. And so I may as well, so you've got the idea that this, they're powered by corrugated numbers, and there's several layers of symmetry which I've pulled up to smash through this. So 2015, what was happening was that everything I was trying to do, introduce, was being systematically blocked. I wasn't being upset by it, but I'd write down what I was trying to do, what was being blocked, and then I'd work out the ways to get around it. So I'd have solutions, and then those solutions themselves would be blocked. And so as I wrote it out, I said, oh, hang on, the indices here, which describes what's going on, they look like similar to, I suppose, the standard indices. It's called NATO standard. I'm sure it's not NATO standard anymore. It's where you put 1.A, .C, .I. This is for writing orders or instructions or legislation. I recognise that. And it also registered to me that it was similar to quantum mechanics. And I then realised that... I don't know what the realisation was. I realised that this was a particular type of number. I wrote it down and had this epiphany. And within a very short while, I had... written a program and realised the actual scope of it. And then I developed this app such that you could interface engine, and it would write an app, a published app, onto the internet, because I'd actually cracked the a sort of an organization, a shaping of the headers of information such that the information could go in an app pretty quickly. Now, what happened is sort of two things. One is I used it for a couple of times to crack teaching problems. There was one time when someone came into our staff room to tell us how great apps were, and I listened for a long time about how we should, you know, sort of get our students to teach apps and all that. And as they spoke, I was just writing down what they said. And at the end of it, I said, "Oh, would you like to see the app of what you've just said?" And they refused to look at it. And this is a similar thing that I said to my head teacher, "Would you like to see this app, these apps?" And again, would not look at the screen. In fact, in general, some people, they'll look at the screen through the side of their eyes and not look at it. But don't ask me what's going on up there. And so what happened is that I just quietly developed and problem solved and wrote out different algorithms for these apps. And now, at this stage, we'll just try and talk about the application of it and the application of knowledge there. And so how it goes is like this. Socratic knowledge is one aspect of knowledge, and it's by no means the one of the solutions, one slice out of the solution space to deal with this structure of knowledge, but it's a very good slice. It's a very basic slice. It's got a lot of positive things to it. So one of the basic things is Socrates said the idea of a dialogue, that is, where you ask a question, give an answer, and then you consider more an answer to that question, and you ask a question about that answer. And this is a dialogue of the student and master talking, and if you do this sufficiently long and hard, you can actually get a fairly good grip on a topic. And where Aristotle came in is he systematized and got to the basic things and actually organized it into books. But it's that Socratic thing. And then you've got the philosophers, St. Thomas Aquinas, where he would ask a series of basic questions, and then I think it would go through the 10 possible answers to that question. If you read the Summa Theologica, which I don't know, I just sat down and ploughed through it. I got the general gist of it. I didn't read it all the way through. I just got the general gist of how it was structured, rather than think too deeply about it. But St. Thomas Aquinas similarly had a question, and then a series of answers, and then a review of those answers as you got through. So there is this idea that for any topic, any human contemplation of a topic, you can go through a question, a range of answers and a range of questions, and if you can imagine, this sprouts out every cycle, gives you sort of a new, I suppose, dimension that you can go in, and it doesn't correspond to XYZ dimensions, but it corresponds to other dimensions, and there's sort of maths of it where you can clean it up. And so, for your corrugation, I'm going to say for a normal size number and subscript number. So, I'll put a letter in front of it because the letter is easier. Q, 1, R, 1, Q, 2, R, 6, is a way of going through going through a discussion, getting to that particular point in the discussion that you have about a thing. Now, obviously, with the power of the internet, you can do fantastic things with this, imaginative things with this, and just basically, I went through with no support and actually programmed this up and began to actually cut across and solve basic problems, and go into multiple, I suppose, hyper dimensions on it. But so for each input, you have an input number. So for that, you may have my third question about that sixth response is, and you say that, and then people can actually go back. And if it pulls up the question and response, you can actually go to that point of conversation. So if you actually look through the example, you'll see a tile where this is actually done, question, response, and that's just, if you're listening into it, if you don't quite understand the context, you can actually press on the question, and the question will pull up the context of it. And it's a drop-down menu with sort of details, sort of a dot point summary of what's motivating behind that question. So you have these for each of these indices, actually, normally you put information in a spreadsheet. Well, this information is. Got a this IP address? Yeah, no, I think you've got the IP address in the header that where you want to send it to. You send information to the internet to an IP address, and the IP address is in the header. So this information is similar to information stored in the internet, but it's stored in your own little internal internet, and it's got IP addresses with every piece of information, and you can recreate a point that you're considering of fairly high complexity, and that's the way it is. Now, there's certain basic ways that this transforms, and various dimensions to it, and various things are added to it and then subtracted to it. But fundamentally, you can arrange this as represent an argument in two-dimensional space with questions on the x-axis and responses on the y-axis going downwards to correspond with our reading. So we read on the if you count the quadrants of a Cartesian plane in a clockwise direction, 1, 2, 3, 4. So the positive x and negative y, we read in that second quadrant. So I've transformed this into the second quadrant. And so you start off with your question, And you then go down, read downwards, which is the natural thing, to the response that you're interested, and read across to the question about that response, and then down, across. So it's these pages are read in two dimensions. Now, it is hard to do that originally, so there's a tile which translates it back into plain English at the side. And so these corrugated numbers, I call them corrugated numbers because they look corrugated if you write it in full subscript. So it's question response. The number of them. So they're iterated numbers. What are some of the mathematical operations? Well, you can pick up such things as the root of an idea. Yeah, get through, and for that root of an idea, you can actually set some simple algorithms. I can't remember exactly what the simple algorithms are at the moment, namely because I programmed them in LabVIEW, sort of half, not half a day, it's half asleep, not half asleep, but distracted. I would be there and I'd have to be getting dinner or doing other things, and I'd just come and sort of absent-mindedly program. But the end result is that you have a series of tiles, and initially when I did the tiles, I had no information on the tiles because I could remember what each tile was, and then I realized people couldn't remember it, and so I put two or three letter code on the tile, and numbers aping the periodic table. So you've got Na for sodium. Well, I've expanded that a little bit to have, you can have two capital letters, or a capital letter and a question mark, or three letters like who, or something like that. They can be redundant. You can have who at several spots, because who's just the label. The actual tile has a corrugated number for it. Now, I suppose if you're listening to one mathematics, look, there is lots and lots of cases where the mathematics is not genius, curl, differential, continued fractions, things which are, or statistics, students' T functions, all those things which, you get, and it's mind-bending, and you just say, Oh, that's what that comes out. This is just raw brute force tinkering with numbers at the very early stages of even writing them down. So let's go through. As you notice, you'll have this panel, and as you press on a tile, a periodic table. So red tiles will be questions. The green tiles will be responses. The question and response, and you go through it. As you press on it, it will take you down in the dimensional space to that last question that you're looking at, and show you the options one or two ahead, and so you can go through and press as you go down there. And there's simple things to if you've pressed, say, Q1R5, Q3R2, Q8R7, that number, you can then say, well, type all numbers, put all tiles which are dependent on that. So you can just cut back the tiles So you get those tiles up there. And then from that number, where do you actually, say if you've got that number, it's ahead of a tile, where do you plot it? Well, it's quite simple. You just add all the uppercase, all the questions together and all the responses together, and they may add up to cumulatively the sixth question, and cumulatively the 11th response, and that tile will be at a position, a Cartesian coordinate, which just sits there. So this is one of the magic things, that the information's all garbled, but when it's actually plotted out, it's plotted out in something which looks like a neat little crystal, a Christmas tree, which keeps on growing, and you can keep on mining things. Now, there's sort of advantages to it in terms of that there's a little arrow at the top of the page, sort of a backspace arrow, sort of take me to the back page to it, and so it takes you back to a conventional page which has, it looks like a standard web page. So what you, and this is, I've shown it to a number of people, and they get it, but because it's not like a normal web page, they you know, up in arms, they can't get it. But one of the advantages is that you can then click, and if there's unresolved questions, it can pick up any unresolved question, a question with no answers to it, to look at it, and it can also do a few other things. You can give an answer which is based on a promise, and so the question is, the roof's leaking, what are we going to do? Well, one answer is get buckets and put it under the roof. Another answer is check the weather and don't go in the house when it's raining. Another answer would be phone up the roof man and pay him $600. And who's going to do that? Well, I promise I will do that. By what date? And so when you put that promise in, the name you promise in there, it comes up as a little heart, and then in this way you can actually see what part of the solution space that you have is dependent on promises or conditions and things like that. Or you can adjust the orders of questions and answers such that your favourite answers at the top, or you can have a series of answers linked to its, say you're working out who you go out with. It can be, I suppose for me, I better not mention any female names or I have anything to answer, but say if I was a woman, I would want to go out with Fitzwilliam. Well, there's I've done the Pride and Prejudice book as one of these information kernels. So you can select Fitzwilliam, Darcy, Mr. Collins and stuff like that. And it's, they'd be all ors. Or one of the answers may be how do I buy a house? Well, I research it. I go to agents. I look at properties. I select a house. It's, and that will be then. And so they're more structured answers. That the I've got a series of answers which are answered, and it's all handled there. Or I can say my treatment options are this or this, and then the sort of it's got huge advantages that I could see. And I was fortunately able not to have to go cap in hand to people. I could just program it. So this is ideal for contracts. A contract is basically a contemplation of the future, a binding contemplation of the future to allow parties to proceed to the future without consultation, able to stop negotiation and then go out and do things. And that requires, if this happens, what will happen? What's the answers? If that happened, what will be the answer? And what happens is that if you fill it in this this app this way. You press a button and it prints it out as a book, a contract as a book at the end of it. So this took me a few months of programming part-time, and then slowly deploying it, and I deployed it that other people could program at the same time. And then I also arranged that you could email it, and you could tweet or email it a particular answer. It would search it up and stick that answer in live. So similar to the programming to get the podcasts out, where you start to use the email system to get things going and across to feed into it. I haven't really. So what's happened is, I suppose, 20. Well, it's a long time now. 2016. 2015 invented. 2016. Towards the end of 2016, I was absolutely rooted. My fingers were basically my liver had become unstuck. So I was swelling up and sweating and itching and all this type of stuff. I didn't know, and not breathing properly, and suffering all these things. 2017, I got fixed up, and sort of in that time, I thought, look, this is probably something worth commercializing. But part of being in that state of ill health, and also a whole lot of people around you saying, look, you can keep on bringing up these, I don't know, they just weren't receptive to it. But that being said, I've just switched off, looked at sort of trying to get back to teaching, and what seems an insurmountable wall, and I've just said, well, I'm going to have a go at it, because it's the most positive thing if I can keep on improving, getting the technology behind me, and I'm just slowly stitching it together. And so I've had this in the background and put it together. One of the things that, so you can move your tiles around, you can cut tiles, you can tunnel between solution spaces. It's quite amazing what you can do. But also, if you click on, you can, there's images. Then if you click on the image, you can tunnel out to the article on the internet, or you can play YouTube if there's a relevant YouTube there. I was going to have some speech in it. Then if you click on the actual question response, it gives you a drop-down menu, and it's fairly simple to go through, and the interface is pretty good. I haven't done the full grade engineering on it in terms of there must be a memory leak, because I'll leave it on for a couple of days. So there must be some more memory leak somewhere in it. So if I leave it on for a couple of days, it goes memory overload. I can't really get into it. And unfortunately, I've programmed it all up, really not paying much attention to how I programmed it, and really, I suppose, practically not thinking I'm going to be, well, I wasn't really focusing on being here at this stage. And so I've sort of been resurrected. I feel a bit like some sort of cyborg, in terms of my heart's been absolutely repaired with a quantum mechanical implant. I'm not joking about it. The actual valve is pure carbon valve with chaotic carbon coating, which lasts for 10 million years, and now it's been fixed up. It's better than anything I've ever had. It's like I've been upgraded, cyborg upgrade, and what's happened is I've woken up from this and decided to progress and keep on pushing forward. And this is the whole thing of research. The odds seem really stacked against you. Like there's lots of lasers and technical problems which seemed insurmountable, sort of like building these optical fiber components or solving lasers. They seem insurmountable, and you just turn up and work as hard as you can every day, and that's what I'm doing in here, just really slogging it away. And I'm building a solution engine, and hopefully things will start working. So I've got it such that I do the blog, I plug the blog in to the computer, then the computer reads it, sticks the music on the end on it, emails it to the blogger, and it's still, I rip my teeth out having to open up the blogger myself and actually do the final tweak on it, and there's more to do it. And then after that, it puts it up to Feedburner, and then Feedburner puts it, it puts it onto Twitter, and iTunes reads that, and I just have to work out how to link it to LinkedIn and Facebook, and then get it translated into Chinese, and then get the app going onto it. And so that finally each lesson will be fully broadcast, socially done, and I'm looking at the soft side, the carbon-based. Look, I am a carbon-based life form. I've got organics and inorganic carbon. I've got to make sure that I can actually podcast. I can get the skill up, so I'll eventually get the skill up, and that's why I'm doing the reading, so I can get my pause and the diction going forward. And it's just a matter of effort to produce it, and I'll eventually get there. But I think in the journey there, people have to, or I think would find interesting that there's all this deeper knowledge, and there's the knowledge, I don't know, is contentious, and I'm not standing by one or the other, I'm just wading through the contentious stuff. And at the end of it, there's little steps. There's a large amount of knowledge which I don't know. I don't know how to get the Facebook and all that type of stuff going. And hopefully I'll come across someone who will help me. One of the things is that certain things are certain dying in front of me, like doing exams. And I'm just hoping that Australian technology can help me out with this thing called Blurt and just getting the processes together. And things will improve, especially now I've got the basic computers up and running. I can actually possibly get one or two computers mothering the software. So what's happened before, what I do have is that I can have a slow internet speed somewhere, or someone switches off a computer. I've had it before that there's multiple programs working as a swarm to actually get it across. So I've had that previously, so I'll get the podcasting software to monitor, and it will just monitor that the programs will be given an order, a seniority, but it'll be able to make a decision that the primary podcasting program is not on the air, and it'll take charge. So I can just put a podcast on a, or basically email. Yeah, I suppose I can email the podcast in at any time, and the engines will take it and put it up. So that's a while away, but I'll gradually get there, and so I won't be able to be knocked out. And one of the things is that I've had to develop that to get around to upload. Sort of the upload environment, the internet environment there. So I'll eventually get there. So it is interesting to look at these corrugated numbers. They are a new form of maths, and I don't know. I think I would come up with a new, 2015. sort of like every 15 years I have to come up with a new level of maths, and it's following the same level. Around 2000 I came up with a new formulation of maths which allowed me to greatly compress instructions to robots, and was able to be built a factory, and there's a documentary on it, and it's going through the same path. People say, oh, it's not axiomatic, it's not numbers, I don't understand, I can't do it. Well, I can still use it to build a factory, and I can still use it to do these apps, and there's got a great potential out there for people to actually just all tweet in and build an app in cyberspace. So you have an app up there, and you can just tweet into it, and it all goes into an app, and it can actually then sell you products or control your home based on it, or wind out being a treatment plan as you work through. So that's the overall idea. And hopefully I've done enough cardiac walking at the moment. I'll get home. It's very cold, but very brilliant night. Here you can see Jupiter, the Moon, and Mars up. It's a brilliant, brilliant, clear, cold night. Fantastic starry night. Fortunately, with the Moon out, you don't get to see all the stars. It's a very, very, very bright night. Okay, thanks a lot for listening. Another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.